This is Victory House.
Glory be to God. All right, get your Bibles open. At least, you know, it's not easy to be speaking in front of Pastor Emmanuel. So I'll do my best. So maybe by the time I do all this introduction, I spend some time on it. By the time it's 10 minutes more, we'll read the text. And then in 5 minutes, I'll say everything I have to say and then we'll go. All right, let's flip our Bibles open to the book of John chapter 19. Let there be light. That's the theme, and it's a month where we are emphasizing the redemption realities. It's a month where we are more conscious about the work that Jesus Christ came to do. Amen. Okay, so John chapter 19, I'll read from verse 28 to 30. I will read the New Living Translation of the Bible. Don't worry if you don't have it, I'll read it from here. The reason why I've been reading New Living Translation is because that's what I've been using in my personal devotion. Amen. It's okay. If you have New King James, it's okay. But the old King James, I don't know. So Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. Somebody say, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on the hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Glory be to God. For a title this morning, I want to title my message, Finished. Somebody shout, Finished.
Finished.
Glory be to God. Finished. Amen. Well, I don't need to beat about the bush about what Jesus Christ came to do. Jesus did not come because he loved himself. Jesus came because he loved us. Jesus did not come to live on planet Earth because he wanted to be exalted. He was already God before he came. Glory be to God. In the book of John chapter 1, verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and there was nothing that was made without him. He said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. I like verse 12 where it says that, and we beheld his glory. So no, before that it says, the Word became flesh, and he dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was already God even before he came here. So he did not need to become more God than he is. Amen. He was not going to be God raised to power too. He was already what? God. So he did not come because of himself. He came basically because of you and I. The reason why we can be sitting here looking very cute is because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. Glory be to God. The reason why we can be sitting like this and looking like we have it all together is because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. And it's interesting that we belong to a blessed generation. We belong to the generation that is experiencing the last days where that all things have been made ready before we came. Amen. So we came in to what has been done, not what will be done. Our salvation is in the past. So also is our what? Healing in the past. Our prosperity is where? Is in the past. The forgiveness that we have is already in the past. Everything has been done. Jesus Christ came to fulfill all of this so that we can enjoy the full benefit of our salvation. Glory be to God. So we belong to a blessed generation. But before I go into the details of the things that Jesus Christ did, because I've had time to, in the recent times, to also review over and over again the pain that Jesus Christ had to endure in order for us to be saved. I felt like our salvation cost too much. It cost too much. I attended a conference in Tampa just before I flew down to Chicago, Tampa, Florida. And so somebody was asking me, said, man of God, so please ensure that you enjoy yourself at this conference. I said, what do you think? I paid too much not to enjoy myself in this conference. I said, you came in from Maryland. I came in all the way from Lagos. The cost of tickets, the cost of hotel accommodation, the cost of maintenance, I have paid too much not to what? Enjoy this conference. So also, it just dawned on me that Jesus Christ paid too much for you to be held bound by the enemy. Jesus Christ paid too much for you to be poor. Jesus Christ paid too much for you to be sick. Jesus Christ paid too much for you not to have life and have it more abundantly. He paid too much. So every time I've had to think about the salvation experience, I think about what Jesus Christ had to go through so that I can be who I am. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, hope you are not wasting the payment. Because when you live beyond your redemption realities, you are wasting the payment. Glory be to God. When you live below what Christ has made available for you, then you are wasting the payment. For example, I imagine that I owe Pastor Emmanuel $500. Amen. And Pastor Emmanuel decides to say, man of God, where's my money? I say, please leave me out there. But for now, just I can't pay your money as it is. And then he kept bothering me. And then, you know, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. So I became a slave somehow, and because of this 500 naira. And then somebody came and said, Pastor Emmanuel, please, I want you to release this Pastor Dari guy. I'm going to transfer $500 million into your account. Okay. So I owe $500. And then he gets $500 million. I think I ought to be Pastor Emmanuel's friend if that's the case. But that was exactly what Jesus Christ did. The blood of Jesus was an excess payment for our salvation. It was an excess payment. You know, it was just yesterday I was listening to a man of God how that he was describing how that on Golgotha, really, with a place of skull, that's what it means. Actually, the Bible historian agreed that that was the same place that Adam was buried. Amen. Said that they said that at the spot where Jesus Christ shed his blood was the same place where Adam was buried. And then, you know, there was an earthquake. In Matthew 27, the Bible talked about the fact that there was an earthquake when Jesus Christ was going to die, when he was on the cross. He said there was a split in the rock. So they said they believe that that blood of Jesus Christ, as it was flowing, it flowed right down to where Adam was. So it tackled our problem from the root. So what I love about God is that God is always dealing with the root while we are looking at the fruit. So in Mark 11, you see how that Jesus Christ spoke to a fig tree. And then the fig tree did not wither immediately, am I right? But by the time they came the following morning, the Bible says that the fig tree had withered from the root. It had dried up from the root. So the problem is, anybody that sees the fig tree yesterday would have thought that what Jesus Christ said did not make an impact on the fig tree. But the reality is that what Jesus Christ said already started working as soon as Jesus Christ said it. You know why? Because Jesus Christ was tackling the root. Jesus went straight to the root. So the blood of Jesus Christ went all the way to the day that Adam sinned. That brings me to the fact that I see God always establishing patterns. You see patterns in God's mode of operation. And you see examples of what's going to happen. I saw that the sacrifice of Jesus was already demonstrated in the Garden of Eden. How? The day that man sinned, man wrapped himself with fig leaves. Am I right? So he wrapped himself with fig leaves, and then God came, and God said, fig leaves is not good. Look at it. They wrapped themselves with fig leaves, and yet they were still hiding. Which means what they thought would cover them was not going to cover them. And there are times in our lives when we are trying to wrap ourselves with fig leaves. You know, have you ever thought about the beef? I mean, we call it beef, or the issue that Jesus had with the fig. Their issue dated back to Adam and Eve. The fig leaves is what men usually will run to cover themselves. That was what man, that's why there are times when psychology is not what will solve some problems. Because psychology can become like a fig tree, even though it can help. But really, it is the blood that was going to atone for the sin that man had committed. So later, we saw that in that reading was also the blood of Jesus. It was not just going to cover our sins, it was going to wash it away. It was going to cleanse us finally. I saw a reading in the creation also that God did not create man until he was almost done. Maybe if he had created me on the first day, I would have assisted him in the remaining process. But I saw that God created man last. And what it means is that the first full day that man was going to spend on planet Earth was in the rest of God. Amen. Just follow me, I'm going somewhere. So the first full day that we spent, that Adam spent, was the day that God was resting. Are you getting me? Now, so what Jesus Christ came to do for us is to bring us back into the original. He came to make us rest in God rather than try to perform in God. This is it. When Jesus shouted, "It is finished," there were several implications to the word, "It is finished." Our journey of faith is all about our ability to rest in what has been finished. So the establishment of the pattern of God creating man as a last being was the fact that the first day, man was supposed to start their life. Man was supposed to live their life in the rest of God. Amen. So it's important for us to understand some of these patterns that we see in the way that God created things. And of course, part of the pattern I saw was the fact that God paced himself. God did not try to finish everything in a day. Amen. He could have created everything in one day, but so that some of us that wish that we can fulfill destiny in one day. Amen. So that we can understand that, no, you can. If God could pace himself, you don't have a choice. You should be able to what? That's why when we stop pacing ourselves, we begin to fall sick. Amen. We begin to disobey the law. Now, I said that to say to us that God has a pattern. Another pattern you see is that the source of a thing is the sustainer of that thing. He called forth fish from the water, and the fish cannot survive outside of water. Amen. When he was going to call forth animals, he called them forth from the ground, so they cannot survive outside of the ground. Amen. When he was going to create man, he called man out of himself. He said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." That is why man cannot live, man cannot survive without God. That's why you see Deuteronomy 8:3 says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the same thing was what Jesus Christ said. Just to see how that God is a God of pattern. And our role here today, my assignment here today, is to see how I can get you to begin to rest in what has been done. The word "finished" there is from Greek word. It is finished. It's from the Greek word tetelestai, which, sorry, I don't want to use it too much. But what it means is the fact is what they use in those days as when somebody was sent, is sent on an errand, and then the person has accomplished the errand. So what Jesus Christ said by saying it is finished was mission accomplished. Amen. The word finished there also actually connotes a crossover. The cross itself is the dividing line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Please, for those of you who think that the New Testament started from Matthew, no. The New Testament did not start until Jesus Christ hung on that cross. Amen. So the cross was a dividing line. So what Jesus was saying is that it's a change of covenant. The hold is done. I have finished the hold, and now I am starting the new. So that's the implication of that word finished. The other thing about that word finished is the fact that it's a word that is used in the secular sense, where when people are transacting businesses. So after you have transacted the business, for example, if I want to pay for this building, and then I transfer the required amount, then they give me a deed or whatever it is that they give you in the US. But what they will hand that over to me because I have made full payment. So what Jesus was saying when he said finished was a full payment has been done. That was why I said it was an excess payment. That Jesus does not owe the devil anything anymore. So we need to understand from that perspective that what Jesus Christ finished has been finished. There's nothing that will be added to it. It is a full stop. It is the end of an era. That's why he says in Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because curse is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's important for us to understand that Jesus Christ has finished it. The price for your redemption has been paid for. It is not going to be paid for. It has been paid for. So there are consciousness that we need to have. There are things that we need to be conscious of in order for us to enjoy the things that Christ has made available to us. And that's the crux of my message this morning. The first one that I will say, what Jesus Christ came to do, is that he came to give us a new identity. Somebody say new identity. Tell your neighbor, I have a new identity. I am not the same person that you knew. I am a new man. All right, so the first thing that Jesus Christ came to do was to give us a new identity. Because if you go back to Genesis, the thing that the enemy took advantage of was the identity. The enemy is always after an identity. When you don't know who you are, then you can become a mincemeat to the devil. Jesus came to give us a new identity. And that's exciting because I am not the same person anymore. I am not my past anymore. I am not the person you used to know. I have changed address. Because of that statement, it is finished. It means I have a new identity. My identity is that of Jesus. My surname is Jesus. It is not about my ancestry anymore. It is about the ancestry of Jesus. Can the ancestry of Jesus be cursed? Amen. We need to begin to see ourselves in that light so that we can enjoy the full benefits of redemption. In the temptation that the devil made against Jesus, do you notice that two out of the three temptations were about his identity? If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Amen. Remember, in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was baptized. Am I right? God said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Am I right? And the enemy came and said, "If you are the person that God calls you," I don't know what he's saying to you, if you are, the person that God called you, if you are the person that Pastor Emmanuel is preaching about, if you are that person, then do this. See, most of the time, we try to perform to become who we really are. Whereas, all we just need to do is to be. Adam and Eve were already gods. Let us make man in our own image. Am I right? After our likeness. And then the devil said that you guys are going to be like God if you eat this fruit. Anytime the enemy is able to distort the way you see yourself, then he's able to win over you. The problem most of the time is the way we see ourselves. We do not see ourselves in the light of the way God sees us. Amen. So the first thing that Jesus Christ came to do for us is to give us a new identity. We are different now. Recognize that your image has been restored. It is never about what we do. It is about who we are. It is who we are that informs what we will do. Let me ask you a question. If you hear a dog bark, will you feel strange? I'm asking. If a dog barks, will you feel strange? Why will you not feel strange? Talk to me. Because it is normal. Am I right? Because a dog will bark because it's a dog. It does not need to bark to become a dog because there are human beings that bark. So the fact that human beings bark does not make them a what? A dog. How come you think what you do is what defines you? Amen. What you do does not define you. What defines you is what God says about you. Amen. What God says about you is more important than your reality. So the enemy came to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. I'm already a son of God. The enemy wanted wanted Jesus to act and perform to ensure that he is who God says he is. But whatever God says about you is final. Amen. Whatever God says about you is final. And it's important for us to embrace the things that God says about us and to hold on to it as a final authority. Never allow the enemy's voice to drown what God has said to you. They came to John the Baptist. They said, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not Elijah. Because a lot of us, we are living by men's definition. And that is why we are living below our redemption right. Are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you one of the prophets? He said, no. He said, who are you then? I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Glory be to God. What does that mean? John had learned to define himself by what the word of God says about him. We must all learn to define ourselves by what the word of God says about us, not by our circumstances, not by our situation, because we must always learn to separate between position and condition. Amen. Don't let your condition define your position. Never allow your condition to define your position. As a believer, I just major on the things that God has said about you rather than on the things that the enemy is trying to put at you. Those temptations is to get you to stop seeing yourself the way God sees you. Amen. There's a story of a guy that I like in the Bible, and it's Luke chapter 15. The story of the guy they call Prodigal Son. You know, it was Bible scholars that called him Prodigal Son. We are the one that labeled him. That's the way people label people. I mean, look at Bartimaeus. They call him Blind Bartimaeus. They label you with the things that you are going through. Amen. But never allow things to define you. Never allow what you are going through to define you. The guy woke up one day. He said, I like him. You know why I like him? After he had done what he had done. Of course, I'm not going to condone what he did, because he literally told his father to go and die. I don't want my son to say that to me. And then, anyway, the deed has been done. But you know, he said, I will rise up now. I will go back to my father. He said, make me as one of your servants. He didn't say, make me your... You see, He can a son cannot be a servant. Amen. The fact that he's ass, he knows that he's still a son. A friend of mine said that the prodigal son is better than a bastard. He said because the prodigal son is only a thought away from home. When he does a rethink, he will find his way back home. But you know what I like about the story? That he was not the one that saw his father. His father was the one that saw him. You see, don't let what you have done take you far away from God. My experience with church people is this. When they are not doing it right, they run away from the church. You see, what God is saying is, right when you are not doing it right, that is when you need to run to me. I love what happened. The father ran towards him. And the father hugged him. Kissed him. So that is speaking to some of us here. We want to become better. We want to become deserving before we come to God. Amen. But the father what? Hugged him. He kissed him. And guess what? Then he said, oh, go and change his clothes. The change is in coming in. The change is not in outside. It's not outside. It's in coming what? In. Don't let your sin redefine you. Jesus already redefined you. The price that Jesus... See, tell your neighbor, I'm too expensive. The price that Jesus Christ paid so that you can have the things that you have, so that you can be called by a new name, is too much for you to take it for granted. That should affect the way you carry yourself. Somebody said that, somebody told me one time, I said, I don't like the way Pastor Dari walks. I said, I'm not going to change the way I walk because of you. Amen. The person said that I walk like somebody who brought everybody today. So, I said, how else do you want me to walk? I brought everybody. Amen. And you know, it was born out of my revelation of who I am. Every time I walk everywhere, I believe I'm special. I believe I cannot be rejected. So, yesterday when it looked like I was not going to be able to make Chicago, I was calm. I knew I was going to come. Amen. I knew they would treat my case differently. I know my situation is going to be different. Because I just expect that I'm a child of God. The guy at the American airline counter told me that, oh, guy, please, can you go to another? I said, sorry, what about the money I paid? He said, well, it's not their fault. I said, okay, let me go and check. I went to check those ones too. They are shut down their flights to Chicago. I said, no problem. I went back to him. I said, is there nothing that you can do? Amen. See, when you realize who you are, when you see yourself in a certain way, you will be insistent. The reason why we give up so soon is because we don't know who we are. Tell your neighbor, I cannot be rejected. So I insisted. So then, the lady beside the man that was attending to me said, see, there is something on Dallas. Okay, you could. So the guy said, okay, quickly bring your passport, quickly bring your ID. Let me. Then they fixed it. They gave me a seat. And I was on my way to Chicago. Yeah. Amen. My layover in Dallas was less than 30 minutes. I ran from one gate to the other. I said, this has been done. But I feel I'm special. I know I am special. Even when my luggage did not come with me, my luggage did not arrive with me. But for some reason, Pastor Emmanuel was there yesterday. We were told that, oh, we should forget, the lawyer cannot arrive this morning. That it will be maybe later in the evening and like that. I said, I just believe somehow. So I checked online. I tracked my bag. I saw this thing has landed in Chicago. I sent a message to Pastor Emmanuel. Is it possible not to wait for them to deliver and blah, blah? Cut long story short, I have my boxes. Amen. It is the way you perceive yourself. You need to perceive. See, when you know, one of the identities that is very crucial, the number one thing that you must know about what Christ has done for you is that you are the Son of God. See, when you walk with the consciousness of the fact that you are the son of God, out there the devil win over you. When he comes against you, he knows that he has already lost the battle. He knows that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So I do not struggle in those things. See, even when things happen to me in a negative way, I told somebody, I said, I don't ever go down. I can never go down. Let me see. So somebody said, oh, what about temporary setbacks? That's what it is. It seems like a setback, but most of the time it's a setup. It is all about perspective. Somebody say perspective. See, when you undo setbacks like setup, your reactions will be different. I never go down. Anybody that saw Joseph, the day he had the dream, he was already in the pit. It seems like he was what? Going down. But guess what? Every journey was taking him closer. Oh, as if it was not enough, he became a slave in Potiphar's house. But guess what? He could have had up. You see, Potiphar was the chief security officer of the palace. That's what a lot of times we don't know. It looked like Jacob's house was better than Potiphar's house. But Potiphar's house is closer to Jacob, to Joseph's dream. Amen. So if they had not sold him into slavery, he would not have found himself in Potiphar's house. Potiphar got angry. He did not do his research very well. Dumped him in the prison. Amen. Let me ask you, does it look like he was going up? It looked like he was going down. It looked like, man, now, it is done. This dream was an hallucination. It looks like I was just daydreaming. I was just wishing. But if he did not go to the prison, he would not have met the cupbearer and the baker. Listen to me, people of God. You don't ever go down. No matter what it is that the enemy brings against you, the Lord always uses it against him. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 20 says that all things, somebody say all things.
All things.
Did he say some things?
No.
He said all things work together for good to those who are called of God, to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. He got to the prison. He met cupbearer and baker. He interpreted their dream. Let me say this. Did you notice that Joseph did not know how to interpret dream until he got into the prison? Because he did not interpret his own dream when he had that dream. The prison was his opportunity to learn interpretation of dreams. Somebody say perspective.
Perspective.
Whatever it is that you are going through, don't let it define you. See it as a learning opportunity. He was in the prison. And then, guess what? The cupbearer and the baker had a dream. Somebody is going to have a dream.
Amen.
And you will be the one that will provide the solution.
Amen.
I see solution providers in this place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They had a dream. He interpreted the dream. But guess what? They forgot him. Say, I was happy they forgot him. You know why? If they had not forgotten him, Pharaoh wouldn't have had that dream. He would not have been there when Pharaoh had that dream. Guess where he would have gone back to? Jacob's house. Because he can't go back to Potiphar's house. Mrs. Potiphar would not allow him. Amen. Mrs. Potiphar cannot stand fine boys like Pastor Emmanuel. Hallelujah. All that Joseph went through was only taking him closer. Even though in the estimation of a human being, it looks like he was going down. But in the estimation of God, he was going up. So never allow physical situations. Never allow physical circumstances define who you are. You are the Son of God. You know, now, let me say this. This is not about condoning sin. But when you sin against God, do you know that you are not less of a son? How many of us are parents here? Has your child offended you before? Huh? Many times. Did you disown him because of the offense? How do you think that God will disown you? He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen. Now, you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, says that we have not an high priest that is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but he was at all points what? Tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen to that. Which means it was in the context of what? Sin. Is that not so? Then if you go to verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, you see, he now says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain. See, when you read the Bible and you see therefore, you need to go back to what he was saying before. So based on the fact that Jesus was tempted yet without sin, you guys come boldly to the throne of grace. So actually that text was in the context of when you find yourself faltering. He said you should what? Come boldly. Amen. That is not when to be timid. He said come boldly. Don't let your weaknesses, don't let your sins, don't let your inabilities take you away from God. Rather, let it draw you to God. Because your identity did not change based on what you do. Your identity has changed based on what Christ did. He said, it is finished. Say after me, I am a son of God.
I am a son of God.
I don't need to feel like it to be it.
I am a son of God.
Jesus was a son. God called Jesus a son before he performed the first miracle. Did you notice? So his being a son was not based on performance. When we were young, and we go to school, in primary school, our parents used to tell us that you must ensure that you come first. It seems that all parents were first in their classes. The only thing is we don't have a testimony to it. We can't see their report card. But it seems that the parameters for acceptance was being forced. But God already judged the case before you came to Planet Heart. Before you were born, the case was already made. So when you gave your life to Christ, it's in your favor. He's not going to change it. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believes in him will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. How come you think he will love you less after you become a son of God? Don't ever think that he will love you less because you did something wrong. But you know what sin does to you? It weakens your faith. It affects your confidence. That's what it does. It makes you vulnerable. But you see, it was you that changed location. God did not change location. When God came to the garden in those days, and he said, Adam, where are you? I thought God was all-knowing. Is that not so? I thought he was all-knowing. And yet he was saying, Adam, where are you? Adam was not where they used to meet. He was a realm in the spirit. Where are you? Amen. So God is asking somebody, where are you? I've loved you with an everlasting love. You are a son of God. The second thing you need to know, the effect of this cross, as I begin to wrap up, the effect of this cross is that he gave you a new inheritance. Say after me, I am loaded. I have so much. I have so much. See, you have a new inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. You have a new inheritance. I have up to 15 things about your new identity. So I just needed to pick one and run off. Glory be to God. So you have a new inheritance. You have been redeemed. You have been ransomed. Part of your inheritance is health. Part of your inheritance is wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace is part of your inheritance. Those are the things that you have. See, anything apart from those things is not from Jesus. So you don't have to accept them. You see, thank God for medical science. Fantastic. Glory be to God. But we need to understand that what Christ has paid for is not supposed to be accepted in our bodies, for example. So when I feel sick in my body, I call sickness temptation. It's a temptation to lie down. It's a temptation to break down. Amen. Amen. The last time I took analgesic was 2007. Yes. No Tylenol, no ibuprofen. Even those names are very complicated, so they are scary. You know, this is my problem. I don't like needle. Neither do I like tablets. So, we have to feed on the word of God. Earlier on this year, for example, I returned from a trip from Singapore with my wife, and then I got straight into work. I didn't know how stressed I was. So I got to church that I couldn't sleep the day before Sunday. I was tired. Thank God it was our senior pastor that was preaching in church that day. I was tired. My head was pounding. Somebody say pounding. I was already feeling like this body. It looks like you're going to break your record, though. So I just said, no, I'm going to go to church. I will not see. When you are sick, it is not time to stay at home. Stop calling Pastor E that, Pastor, I have headache. It is when you come to church, you will get your healing. Amen. Amen. I don't understand. There was a time I hurt my back so badly. And listen, I have an inheritance. Part of my healing is God's dinner bell for the children of God. Healing is our bread. Healing is just normal. Glory be to God. So, I came to church with the back that was hot. I came, and we had a program, fasting and prayer program, for 3 days. I came. In fact, one of the days I preached. Amen. Strong man. Under the anointing. But I was confessing the word of God. So the day, I was talking about that day when I had headache, I had fever and all of that. So I got home that day, I decided to play the word of God on the video. So that's why, stop wasting the messages Pastor Emmanuel preaches here. Buy them, and listen to them. So this is what I did. In the high of my spirit, I saw myself on God's hospital bed. And I imagined that a drip was passed into my body. Amen. And I sat down there, I was listening to the word of God. I listened to the first one. And that man of God preaches for a very long time. Think like me. Hey, Father. 1 hour, 30 minutes, the first one. Second message, 1 hour, 25 minutes. By the time I was listening to the third message, I was feeling fine. You know why? That drip has washed off whatever sickness that was on my body. I felt very strong by the time I was done. I slept. I woke up strong. You have healing. by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You are not going to be healed. You were healed. I like Casey Price, the way he says it. If you were, then you was, and you is. I is healed. It's your inheritance. Take your inheritance. Glory be to God. It's what you have as a result of the finished work. It is done. Somebody shout, finished.
Finished.
The last one is that he gave to give you a new capacity. A new capacity. You can do more than you think you can do. Like what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. It's no longer me. It is Christ. When I was younger, I watched Indian movies. So there is one they call Gazap. I know some of the young people cannot even understand it. But just flow along. Act as if you know Gazap. So there is this feeble young guy. So there were two brothers. So the brother, they killed the brother, but the brother was a stronger guy. And then this younger brother was not a strong guy. So he was a timid guy. And then, because this, just it's a movie. Amen. Somebody says it's a movie. So, because this elder brother wanted to avenge his killers, so he had to enter his younger brother to fight them. Amen. So he would step inside his younger brother, and the younger brother would become powerful. You see, Jesus Christ stepped into you. What you can face has become different. The day he shouted, finished. You know, it's interesting that it was only John that recorded it. That it is finished. Mark said that he made a loud cry. But John said he shouted, it is finished. When he shouted, it is finished, he says that you have a new identity. When he shouted, it is finished, he said you have a new inheritance. When he shouted that it is finished, he said your capacity has just been enlarged. Things have become different for you. Things have become different for you. So I declare for sickness, it is finished. In the name of Jesus. That sickness in your body has come to an end from this day. In the name of Jesus. I declare that emotional pain has come to an end from today. In the name of Jesus. I say finished. In the name of Jesus. To poverty, what do you say? Finished.